Daniel chapter number 12, and we'll not read everything we read last week, but then I want to pick up, and those of you who were not here last week, I want to try to bring you up to speed as to where we're at and what we're preaching about on what is happening in our world today. Notice, if you would, Daniel chapter number 12, and if you can stand, just stand with me for one moment. We'll read a couple of verses of Scripture, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and hope that you have your Bible open and a pencil, a pen, that you can write down some things. Verse number 5 says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood upon two, and the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" And that's all we'll read there, but you keep your Bible open. Would you pray with us, please? Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you'd bind every evil spirit, every opposing spirit that would try to hinder. I pray, God, that there be a holy hush about this place. May folks' minds not be concentrating on what they're going to do this afternoon, or where they're going to be, or what they're going to eat for lunch. But Father, may we seek to know more about thy will and about thy word. And I pray for the power of the unseen one today. May you come down, and God, that you might move upon your people. Lord, we need a fresh touch from heaven. We need a fresh breath of God. We need to know, Lord, what you'd have us to know. Open our eyes of understanding. Illuminate our hearts. And Father, fill us with the knowledge of your word. Give us wisdom from on high. Bless, I pray, this individual, this preacher this morning. Give us liberty. Give us grace and mercy. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. What is happening in our world today? I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be one that can look into the future. But I can look into the Word of God and find, as the Bible unfolds some of the things that are happening in our world today, and then try to share that with you. We find in the book of Daniel, in chapter number 12, here the Bible is telling us and teaching us about the end time. Much of the book of Daniel has to do with end time prophecy. When you read the book of Revelation, always read the book of Daniel, because they go hand in hand. You will find that as you read the book of Daniel, Daniel was seeing the things that John saw, but just in a different direction. Here we find in the book of Daniel in chapter number 12, Daniel begins to describe here the end of the tribulation period. For in fact, he gives us in verse number 11 and verse number 12 the definition of the last 3 1/2 years of the tribulation period. He tells us also in the book of Daniel and chapter number 9, and look in verse number 24 as just a precursor as to what we're going to try to bring to you this morning. In chapter number 9 and verse number 24, Daniel gives us a prophecy to the Jewish nation. And he says there in verse number 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness and seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now there's a lot in that one verse. Daniel says there are 70 weeks of prophecy for the nation of Israel. He goes on to chapter number 9 and gives us some things to look for. He tells us about the time that Messiah would come in verse number 25, and he gives us the date as the restoring of the building of Jerusalem. You keep in mind, at this time, Daniel is living in Babylon. And at this time, the city walls are torn down. The temple is torn down. And now in chapter number 9, God begins to reveal to Daniel the prophecy of the nation of Israel. By the way, God does not want us to be ignorant concerning the nation of Israel. Keep your eye on the nation of Israel. And it's important, my friend, with the unfolding events of this past week, I want you to keep your eye on the nation of Israel. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But he tells us there in chapter number 9 and the following in verses 25, he said, from the time of the building of the temple until the time that Messiah be cut off, he tells us and gives us those dates. From history, we know the time of the rebuilding of the temple. And beloved, it all fell right into place as God had said it was to be. He tells us here that from the time of the rebuilding of the temple to the time that Jesus was crucified would be 69 weeks. Not just 7 days, but weeks of years. 7 years he's referring to here. And that, beloved, fell right into place. There was no doubt about it. We found from history, from the time that the decree was made, that the Jews could go back and under Ezra and under Nehemiah, the walls were built and the temple was rebuilt until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It all fell in biblical prophecy right to the very day. But now here's the interesting thing. He said that 69 weeks would be fulfilled from the time of the rebuilding of the temple to the time that Messiah would be cut off when he was crucified. That has come to pass. That has already been fulfilled. There is but 1 week of prophecy left on the nation of Israel. And that 1 week of prophecy is found in the 7 years of tribulation. You see that in what we're reading here has to do with the nation of Israel. The church was not seen in the Old Testament. The church was not birthed until the day of Pentecost. All those prophecies of the Old Testament relating to Israel will come to pass. All the prophecies relating to Israel found in the Gospels will come to pass. May I say something as we study this out just a minute? Is that in Matthew chapter 24, we touched on this last week. That, my friend, is a prophecy for the nation of Israel. If you want to go there and read that sometime this afternoon, you'll find that Jesus taught his disciples and explained to them about the end of the world and about the coming of the Antichrist and about when Antichrist would set himself up in the temple of God and how that all destruction would break loose on this earth. But that's to the Jewish nation. You see, beloved, the rapture of the church is the next great thing on God's time calendar. You agree with that? Say amen. There is nothing, hear me out, there is nothing that has to come to pass to fulfill the rapture of the New Testament church. There's no bit of prophecy that has to come to pass. All this prophecy is related to the second coming of Christ. Now, I hope y'all understand that. Let me illustrate it. I've said it before. You're riding down Highway 64, and you see a sign that says Siler City, 10 miles, and Raleigh, 60 miles, let's say. So you're riding down Highway 64, and you see a sign that says Siler City 10, Raleigh 60. Now, by common reasoning, what are you going to get to first, Siler City or Raleigh? Siler City, right? Now, what we're seeing is these are prophecies relating to the second coming of Christ. When is the second coming? It's at the end of the tribulation period. It's at the end of that 7 years of hell on earth. It's at the end of all that destruction. The rapture is 7 years prior to that. So if we are seeing these prophecies being fulfilled now, guess what? The rapture's right at hand. Say amen. I am under the firm belief, and you may disagree with me, but I am under the firm belief that Antichrist is alive somewhere on this planet earth. You say, why do you believe that, preacher? Because if you start looking at all the different pieces of this puzzle, you start plugging them in, he would have to be a man that could come on the scene, and he'd have to be able to calm the world down. He'd have to be a grown man in order to do that. I don't believe that he's a baby. I believe he's already living. I believe he's a man. I believe he's somewhere. You and I don't know who he is and won't know who he is until after the rapture. Hallelujah. Amen. Read your Bible. 2 Thessalonians said, that man of sin shall not be revealed until we're out of here. Hallelujah to that. I am a pre-tribulationist. I am a pre-millennialist. I believe in the second coming of Christ. I believe he's coming for the church in the rapture. Then I believe 7 years later he's coming back with the church when he sets his feet on Mount Olivet. And all the mountains will quake. And then, my friend, is the battle of Armageddon. But something interesting here that happened this week. How many of you paid attention to the news this week? I know some of you on vacation. I didn't hear all of it, but I did hear some of it. How many of you saw what happened this week over in Egypt? Raise your hand. Oh, a few of you did. For those of you who didn't hear the news this week, they had by the way, let me back up just a bit of history. And like I said, this is going to be longer than what I anticipated. But back in 1978, a milestone was set place. A milestone took place in 1978. In 1978, Menachem Begin, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Yasser Arafat, the President of Egypt, signed a peace agreement. There was a peace accord that was signed. And everything was looking good. Peace in the Middle East. Now, let's fast forward that. Anwar Sadat, of course, was assassinated. Now, what happened last year? You find last year that Mubarak, or whatever his name was. I'm sorry, I don't speak Egyptian. I hardly even speak redneck. Amen. He was replaced by Morsi over in Egypt. And hear me out. Listen, Morsi is the head. They put him in underneath the Muslim Brotherhood. Y'all know that? Say amen. Do y'all know that the Muslim Brotherhood is one of the extremist radical Islamic groups, and their mission, beloved, is to coincide with Iran to the utter destruction of the nation of Israel? Yes, sir. Now, what happened this week? They removed Morsi out of power, and now the Muslim Brotherhood is in full. They're running the things. They've got the throttle down, and they're headed for an agreement. They're headed. They've already yoked up with Iran. Now here's what I want to show you. Look in chapter 11. Boy, I tell you what. You want to read tomorrow's newspaper? Read your Bible. Look in chapter 11. And I told you it's going to take a little while, but that's all right. Look what Daniel said in chapter 11. Also, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. By the way, Persia is Iran and Iraq. Please know that. Persia is the old term for Iran and Iraq. So Daniel says there'll be three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia, the area of Greece. Now hear me out. As he begins to describe this, I know it's going to sound a little bit far. You're going to say, I don't quite understand. There's going to be the kings of the north that are going to come from the area of Germany. They're going to come from Europe, and they're going to come down, and they're going to ally with the kings of the south. Now, hang on just a second. Before we read anything else, jot this down, put it in your memory. The kings of the south, as he describes here, is the nation of Iran and is the nation of Iraq, the kings of the south. You understand me so far? Say amen. Verse 3, and a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his prosperity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside him. Now watch it. And the king of the south, who did we say the king of the south was? Iran, and that is radical Islamism. These are the folk that believe in the more bloodshed that they can ensue, the quicker their Messiah will return. There are some terms I want you to be familiar with. We believe in Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We believe that Christ is coming back again for his church. You believe that? Say amen. The Jews believe in the Messiah. Jesus came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God. The Jews are still looking for the Messiah. Y'all understand that? Say amen. They just don't realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But now here's the other piece of the puzzle. This Islamic group, these Muslim group, across the world believe in the second coming of their Messiah. And their Messiah is called the Mahdi. He is from a long line of kings, and he is the 12th Imam, and they believe that he and Jesus Christ will come back together. And listen, what his goal is to annihilate all the infidels on this earth. Anyone that does not believe in Islamism, anyone that does not believe in the Muslim religion, they say needs to be annihilated from this earth, and there'll be a cleansing of this earth. And they believe this, that the more bloodshed and the more destruction and the more bombings and the more Holocaust they can ensue, the quicker the Mahdi will come back. So it shouldn't surprise us to see these folk that are trying to blow up everything, trying to walk in a place and blow themselves up. It shouldn't surprise us, because they're thinking the more that I can do, the quicker our Messiah is going to come back and cleanse this old earth. Read on for a second. Now watch this. Verse 5, the king of the south. Who do we say that was? Iran. And shall be strong, and one of his princesses, he shall be strong above him, have dominion, and dominion shall be great dominion, and in the end of years they shall join themselves together. That was fulfilled, my friend, in August of 2012, that here you're talking about the king of the south coming up and joining with forces, signing an agreement together, and just in a second I'll tell you who that other king is, for the Bible tells us, in the end of years they shall join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. She shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall she stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, they that brought her, and he that begot her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her root shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come up with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. Here it is. And shall also carry captives into, read that with me. Say it one more time. Carry captives into, there it is. In verse number 6, he is talking about an alliance with Iran and Egypt. And beloved, last year when the Muslim Brotherhood took over, there was an agreement that was signed between Egypt and between Iran for the annihilation of the country of Israel. August the 2012, last year. What are we seeing? I believe, my friend, we're seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled for our eyes. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't see all that. I don't know. Well, you just see, you just hang on, because I believe this. I believe that the coming of Christ is at hand. I believe before long there's going to be a trumpet blast, and the dead in Christ is going to be raised, and the living is going to be changed, and the Christian, we're leaving this world. He's coming back. I believe we're closer now than we was last week. See? I believe we're closer now than we were a year ago. We're closer than we ever have been to the coming of Christ. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. But I know this. When we read Bible prophecy and it begins to name the countries off and begins to ally these countries, Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia, and begins to ally these countries, and they're going to come up against Israel. Their goal is to wipe them off the face of the earth. That's what they want to do. Our country, on the other hand, has supplied the Muslim Brotherhood with fighter jets, with Abram tanks, and billions of dollars. Oh, The Bible said, God said, I'll bless the nation that blesses Israel, but I'll curse the nation that curses Israel. Y'all believe that? Say amen. So what are we talking about here? Read on, and it says in verse 8, and he said, carry captive in ye their gods with their princes, with their precious vessels of silver and gold, and they shall continue more years than the king of the north. And the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return to his own land. And for the sake of time, we'll not read the rest of it. But what he's talking about there is there's going to come a battle. There's going to come a conflict. They're stirring. You can see it stirring. You can hear the winds of war as they begin to rumble. You can see the allies beginning to yoke up together. You can see this movement of the Muslim nation as they want to sweep across this country, as they sweep across Europe, as they sweep across the Middle East. What is their goal? Their goal is the annihilation of all infidels. Honey, what I'm saying is before long, the trump of God's going to sound. Best get ready. Best get ready. For in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now let me give you something real quick. Time's already gone. What are we seeing happening today? We know we're living in perilous times according to 2 Timothy. We're seeing that, number one, I gave you last week, the Gentiles are being cut off in Romans chapter number 11. We find in Romans chapter 11 that the Gentiles are being cut off and that Israel is being grafted back into there. I said this last week. I read this to you, dated June the 28th. A high-ranking Iranian politician believes the Syrian revolution will be the catalyst for sparking a worldwide configuration that will usher in the era of Muslim domination of the world. They're already saying they believe that this conflict in Syria is just a brewing pot. It's just the catalyst. It's just the spark that's going to be needed before it erupts into a war in the Middle East. You say, preacher, are you worried? I'm not worried, because thank God we're going up. Now, second of all, notice something else. The seed of the serpent is increasing. The seed of the woman is decreasing. Jesus spoke of the days of Noah and the days of Lot that would precede his coming. Jesus said, when you see those days come, in Luke 17, in Matthew 24, he said, know that the time is at hand. He's talking about the second coming, not the rapture. Keep in mind, if we see those signs, then guess what? The rapture is that much closer. We see, third of all, the battle of evil spirits for the bodies of man. I touched on a little of this last week. Let me touch a little bit more. I'll not be able to finish this. Turn to your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 12 for a minute. I want to read this to you. And then Ephesians 4. The more I read on this, the more I study on this, the more that I'm amazed. It's taken me 40-some years to learn this, I guess. But I began to understand something that's taken me a long time to grasp. And that is, we are indeed in a spiritual battle. Now, when I say a spiritual battle, you say, well, preacher, well, I've known that for years. We're always in a spiritual battle. We're always fighting the devil. Yes, sir, I know we are. But can I bring it home to you? Can I bring it right down to where you're sitting at? Can I tell you this morning that I believe that a lot of problems that folk have today, I believe a lot of them are grounded and rooted in evil spirit. Now, I didn't say that you're demon-possessed. No, sir. Thank God when you're saved by the grace of God, thank God that we are sealed for eternity. Amen? A Christian cannot be demon-possessed, but he sure can wreak havoc in your life. How's the only two ways the devil gets interest into you? Y'all help me out. Talk to me. What's two ways? The only two ways the devil, can he, you know, come in and surgically insert himself? How does the devil get to a Christian? How does the devil get to anybody? Mind? What else? Ears and eyes. Only two ways. That's why the Bible said, be careful of what you look at. He said the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Jesus warned his disciples about the weakness of the flesh. Honey, can I tell you something? It's that we as Christians today are living in an anemic life. We are weak when it comes spiritually. We think we're strong, but you let just a little bit of satanic opposition come, you'll see how strong you are. Now watch this. In Matthew chapter 12, and verse 43, I say this, and I'll not have time to preach it all this morning, but if you've ever wondered, and I've said this two or three times lately, because I've wondered about it. Have you ever wondered why some folks, when they get saved, all of a sudden they just quit? I mean, if it's immorality, if it's drunkenness, if it's drugs or whatever else, they just, hey, they walk away, they're clean. But the other people struggle. Other people, sometimes they get pulled back down. I was talking to Brawley out there in the lobby this morning. He was telling me he walked across Goldie's garden and he stepped down in the mud and he got stuck. He couldn't get out. He tried, but the more that he tried to pull his foot up and pull it back out, why is that? Y'all talk to me, help me out. What do you call that when you try to pull yourself out and the mud sucks you back down? Suction, right? Any of y'all ever had that to happen to any of y'all? Okay, come on. Well, he had it. He finally got one foot free, and then he couldn't get the other free, and ended up falling over and skinned himself up. What am I saying? The Bible said that sin is like a miry pit. You remember what David said? That he brought me up out of a miry pit. You remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah said that he was cast into a dungeon and there was mire and it sank up to his armpits. It took 30 men to pull him up because the same way they're pulling one way, the suction of the mud is pulling back the other. Immorality, the Bible says, is like a miry pit. When a person involves in fornication, immorality, they are sucked down into that and it is hard to break free. Why? Because every time they try to break free, it sucks them back down. Look at Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew 12 verse 43, notice what Jesus describes here, and he is using the term house, he's using it as our house, he's using it as our body. When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also under this wicked generation. I believe Jesus is making a prophecy here. I believe he's talking about the generation we're living in. I believe what Jesus is saying is that last generation, right before the coming of Christ, you're going to see more satanic activity. You're going to see more demonic activity. You're going to see more preoccupation with the occult. You're going to see it in the movies. You're going to see it on the video games. You're going to see it on the TV. I mean, listen, son, there are some of those commercials about some of the movies that's coming out. I don't even want to see the commercial, much less even attempt to go see the movie. Why? Because in my spirit, right here, the Bible says, in your spirit you learn evil. This new one they got coming out, they say based on a true story. I'm not even going to give the name of it. I don't want you to go out and try to look at it. But they say it's based on truth. I mean, it's demonic from get-go. And yet people will flock to that stuff. People will entertain that stuff. And here's what I want you to see. And I'm done this morning. It's 5 after 12. I'll be done. Listen, turn over to the book of Ephesians, and I'll have to stop. But I'll give you enough, maybe a whet your appetite, you'll come back. Look in Ephesians, and I want to show you something. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 26. I want to ask you a question. How many of you would be honest with me and yourself this morning, and you would say, preacher, I sin on a daily basis. Would you say amen? Thank you. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth's not in us. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. Brother Frank Goodson sitting here this morning. I'm sure Brother Frank, I just guarantee you, my name's what it is, I guarantee you that Brother Frank took a bath before he came here this morning after he cleaned the hot pit. I guarantee you. Why? Well, I don't know. Yes, I think he just figured that out. Look at Ephesians 4 for a second. I want to show you something. How many of you took a bath before you come here, either last night, this morning? Yeah, at least in the last week, say amen. Ephesians 4, verse number 26. be ye angry. Let me stop there for a second. How many of you ever get angry? Let's be honest. Lift your hand. Oh, my. I'm not looking, Lord. I'm not looking. Be ye angry. So we are, anger is an emotion. I mean, listen, I get angry when I'm driving. I get angry if somebody pull out in front of me. I'm sorry. I'm angry. You know, I'm not perfect. You ain't looking at a perfect preacher. Be angry and what? Read the next part with me. And sin not. All right. Be angry, don't sin. That's hard to do. However, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. How many of you have gotten mad at one point or another and you have gone to bed mad? When you woke up the next morning, were you happy? You was what? You tells us exactly what happens is neither give place or a foothold to the devil. Here's the key. Unconfessed sin in a Christian's life leads to giving a foothold to the devil. You just told me you woke up mad. So what happens? Here's what goes on. You see, that anger is not of God. God says peace and gentleness and goodness and kindness are fruit of the Spirit. Not anger, not malice, not bitterness. I told y'all about the golf game, didn't I, last week? Y'all wasn't here. There was a guy playing golf, and he got mad at the other guy. He took the club, broke it over his arm, and stabbed him with it, and then tried to kill him. What? I believe this, my friend. Now, granted, he had a temper, but where did that temper come from? I believe this as a Christian. Hear me out. It's that when we sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and Jesus will forgive us, and Jesus will cleanse us. But when we go to bed mad, when we go to bed with sin in our heart, when we go to bed and don't confess that, we have given place to the devil, we have given a room for the devil, we have given a foothold to Satan, and guess what? The next morning when we get up, we already start out wrong. Because then, you see, that getting a little bit angry, getting losing your temper, all of a sudden now it has bred into hostility. And that hostility broods into rage. And that's how people get killed. You say, oh, it never happened, preacher. It never happened. You tell that to a lot of those people down in jail, right, Miss Gale? You tell that to some of them young men down there, in a split second, their life is changed. Why? Because in a moment, they pulled a gun out in a fit of rage and anger and pulled the trigger and took somebody's life. You say, oh, but preacher, it'll never happen to me. Let's bring it home. What about these preachers today? You find them falling in their ministry out in sin, gone out with their secretary, gone out and left their wife, left their kids, and left their men. Where did all that happen? It happened with a thought. That thought wasn't confessed. That began to brew. That began to grow. That began to surface a little bit more and more. and more and more until finally that thought turned into an action. What am I saying to you? In the last days, as Jesus said here, we don't have time to finish it this morning. Hope you'll come back. But here it is. Be angry. Sin not. Let not the sun go down in your wrath. If you let the wrath, if you don't go to your bed and you confess that thing, God, the blood will cleanse you. The blood will wash you white as snow. But unconfessed sin leads from one sin to another sin to another sin. And all of a sudden, you're bound. I believe that's why a lot of folk have all kind of problems, addictions, because of unconfessed sin. It goes back somewhere. It goes back somewhere. It goes back sometime to childhood. Sometimes it goes back, and you may disagree with me. The Bible says this, the sins of the parents shall be visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. I believe this. Listen, y'all look around. Have y'all ever known? We'll just use anger as a symbol. My daddy was angry. I'm angry. I've been angry. I've tried it. It spurs up sometimes. My son, he's got a temper. Why is that? I believe this. Certain things follow the bloodline. You look around. I can see some of you. You look like your grandkids. Your grandkids look like you. Why is that? You can see those physical traits. Hey, if we can see that, then guess what? The spiritual follows also the bloodline. That's why mamas and daddies, it's awful important for you to live right, to live clean, to have your life confessed before God. That's why moms and daddies, it's important for you to have a right relationship with God, because listen, the actions of the parents shall be visited on the children, the third, the fourth generation. What's happening in our world today? I believe the devil's pulling out all the stops. Mister, he's after your whole grandpappy, he's after your family. Hey, grandma, he's after your grandkids, he's after your church, he's after your home, he's after your body. If he can't get your soul, he'll destroy it one way or the other. If I know that, if I know there's an enemy outside, if I know there's somebody outside that wants to kill me, guess what? I'm going to do my best to guard off that enemy. Husbands, you need to do your best to guard against the enemy that's trying to defeat and discourage and defeat your family, your children, your grandkids. You say, I don't have any. Not yet. Did you mind? Oh, listen, what's happening in the world today? Satan's pulling the stops out. I never played the organ. Miss Bonnie does. But they tell me, and those old-fashioned organs, when you hear the term pulling out the stops, it means those old dampers or whatever, they pull them out to make the music go louder. Satan is pulling the stops out because he knows his time is short. He don't have much time left. He knows that Jesus, he don't know when, but Jesus is coming. The angels don't know when he's coming. But Satan knows that the days are coming, that it's going to be over for him. He's pulling the stops out. He's working overtime. He's trying to destroy you. Be wise. Put on the whole armor of God. We'll tell you how to do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Musicians, would y'all come, please? I ask you an important question. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Would you be honest with yourself this morning? When the Bible said, neither give place to the devil, that means give a foothold. Now, when you give a foothold, that's just a small piece of ground. That's just a little piece of ground. But anybody that's ever served in the military knows this. In order to win a battle, you start taking a little bit of ground, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit further, and all of a sudden you've won the war. I wonder this morning, would you be honest with yourself? Search your heart. You might have some unconfessed sin in your life. Fellas, there may be some things you've been looking at nobody else knows about, that you need to say, by the grace and help of Almighty God, I need to confess them. You don't need to confess them to me. You don't need to confess them to a priest. You confess them to the Lord. Would you be honest with Him? Ladies, how about you? Are you being flirtatious at work? Are you reading things you ought not to read? Let's be honest with one another this morning. Children, young folks, your parents think you're on the internet doing your homework and you're in some chat room. You're playing some violent video game where there's witchcraft and blood, all kind of evil. Maybe you need to confess that before God, because here's the way it's going to go, is that when you open that door, Satan will take you over. He begins to plant his foot. He's not going to leave. He's not going to leave willingly. I wonder this morning, heads bowed, eyes are closed. I just want you to stand to your feet. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I will ask you this. Maybe you just come right now and get on this altar and say, oh, God, there's some things I need to confess. I need to pray for my home, my family. I need to pray for my church. I need to pray for my preacher. I need to pray for our deacons. I need to pray for every home that's in here. I need to pray for every woman that's in here, every man that's in here. Guard them against the attacks of the devil. Would you come do business with God today? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the forces of evil. I plead the blood. I pray for deliverance for those who have been held in bondage and sin. I pray for that marriage that's on the rocks today. I pray for that home today that's about ready to throw the towel in, that some addiction has come into that home, whether it be liquor, pornography, or fornication. I pray, oh God, that you'd bind those evil forces, and Father, that true deliverance might be found. I pray for that young person today that's been battling depression, that's been battling some secret sin in their life. Oh God, I pray for true deliverance today. May you have your will and way. Oh God, move upon this congregation. Revive the saints of God. May we make us a mighty army in these last days. We pray it in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to sing. I'm not even looking. I'm just going to pray. If you felt led to come, you just obey God. Listen, don't come for me. Would you sing with me? He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One more time. He is Lord. Risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ.
Our heads bowed, eyes are closed. I just say this out of love and sincerity. But folks, if you believe what I preached this morning, we are in a spiritual battle. Folks, this church is in a spiritual battle. Every family in here is in a spiritual battle. I want to encourage you this morning to get on this altar and pray. Would you pray that God would show Himself strong? We know greater is He that's in us than He's in the world. We know that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We know that no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. We know that Satan is a defeated foe. That doesn't mean he's going to roll over and play dead. I'll be honest with you, we need God's people to pray and bind the forces of evil. I'm going to put out a call this morning. If you can get in touch with God, I'm going to just ask you, we're going to sing one more stanza. I would love for this altar to be flooded this morning with saints of God begging and pleading that God have His will and mercy and just bind the devil, plant a hedge of thorns protection around about this place, every home, every church member, every deacon, every man of God, that you just pray sincerely, would you please? While we sing, obey the Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's play through another while these are praying. No hurry. If you need to sit down, please sit down. Please don't get in a rush. We come to try to get in, not try to get out. We try to see God work. Let's not be in a hurry. Would you pray earnestly, fervently? Oh God, hear our prayer this morning. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our failures. Forgive us our shortcomings. All those things that we have pushed aside. All those little things that we think don't really matter. Satan begins to build a stronghold. He begins to build a foothold. Then all of a sudden he begins to have a stronghold in a person's life. Those addictions come. People can't break free. They're held in bondage. Christians who once used to be joyous are now sad. Folks that used to have the joy of the Lord are now depressed, discouraged. Families that used to strive to live together in harmony are now, it's a battleground when they go home. Oh God, we pray. True deliverance. Show yourself strong. Holy Ghost of God, show yourself strong. Break the binds of sin. Set the captive free. Father, let this be a haven. Let this be a place where folks know they can get help, that sin is conquered, that Jesus is alive and well. The forces of evil have no place here. In Jesus' name, I plant my foot upon the head of Satan. In Jesus' name, I command every demon, devil, every imp of hell to flee from this place. I command thee in the name of Jesus, set the captive free. I pray for real victory. I pray, oh God, that there be folk leave here today that'll know for the first time what real victory in their life is. There'll be real victory today. They'll be broke from the bonds of sin and captivity. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen.